Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for Monday, October the 28th, 2019. This is David Corey, along with my co-host, Richard Hurley. Thanks for joining us this evening, and a special kudos to BBS Radio, located out in California near the fires, who's staying on the air tonight thanks to their electrical generators. And as all our fans know, BBS Radio was devastated by the Paradise, California fires last November 8th, and was got back on the air in the miraculous time, and we certainly will keep them in our thoughts and prayers as the fires out in California are nearing them. But tonight we have another fast hour here on the Veterans News Hour. We're joined by our special guest, Sean O'Brien, who's the executive director and board member of Homefront Incorporated, based in Stamford, Connecticut. That organization is an independent community-based program which organizes literally thousands of volunteers to revitalize homes for older adults, low-income residents, and veterans at no cost to those individuals. Now, before Richard Hurley introduces Sean, I'd like to acknowledge two sponsors of our show, Joyce and Joe Chivaroli, whose financial contribution helps provide this weekly show for you and for the benefit of veterans and their families across the country. Also like to remind everyone that this is a call-in show that welcomes your views, your comments, and your questions. So call us anytime during the show, especially if you have a question for Sean tonight, our guest. Our toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. Again, our toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. Now let's go over to Richard Hurley. Good evening, Richard.
Hey, David. Thanks very much, and good evening, everybody. I am very excited to introduce tonight's guest, Sean O'Brien. As David said, he's the executive director of Homefront Incorporated, which is based in Stamford, Connecticut. And as David mentioned, Homefront is a community-based, volunteer-driven home repair program that provides free repairs to low-income homeowners, thus enabling them to remain in their homes with an improved quality of life. Homefront currently serves Fairfield, Hartford, and New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Westchester County, New York. Sean is a graduate of Georgetown University and a scholarship recipient for Strategic Perspectives in Nonprofit Management from the Harvard Business School. He has converted Homefront to an independent nonprofit entity and helping to raise $1 million to reestablish a service that has organized thousands of volunteers to revitalize nearly 600 low-income homes, counting as a standalone agency. He has developed and secured funding from the Home Depot Foundation for large-scale, multi-phase renovation projects benefiting 30 low-income veterans and counting. In 2016, Sean helped secure $100,000 from the Home Depot Foundation to provide home repairs such as roof replacements and other high-value improvements for veterans' homes. So without any further delay, I'd like to introduce Sean O'Brien. Good evening, Sean, and how are you tonight?
Oh, thanks, Rick. I'm doing great. And hi, David. Thanks so much. It was a thrill to be with you guys in April, right before our big repair-a-thon. I guess hopefully I didn't do too much damage then, because I'm fortunate enough to have the honor to be with all of you guys to give you go ahead.
Yeah, everyone enjoyed our show last time, and that's one of the reasons you're back. But also, you know, you were just about to go into your drive, and you were telling us about some projects that you had in the loop, and especially some projects involving veterans, and we're going to get to those. But we probably have a bunch of people who are listening tonight who aren't familiar with Homefront. So if you can just tell us a little bit about Homefront, and that'll get us started for tonight.
Sure, absolutely, yeah. Our program was started in 1988, and you're the intro you guys did great justice to what we do, but really we've been focused on trying to serve that role in the community that was formerly served in bygone days when neighbors knew each other better and knew the needs of one another. So we organize groups of volunteers from, be it faith-based groups or civic groups or local businesses, all walks of life, to roll up their sleeves and give up a day to make a big difference fixing up a home for a low-income family in need. And it's mostly right now in, we're focusing on Connecticut and Westchester County, New York. So it's typically the more urban areas of Connecticut, like Hartford and Bridgeport and Waterbury, New Haven, and Portchester in Westchester. And, of course, one of the more rewarding parts of that work is the opportunity to really focus on giving back to veterans as well.
So how did your relationship with Home Depot Foundation come about?
Well, we were a customer for quite a while in our early history because they always have typically they have the best deals around, which is very important for a nonprofit. But then as we got wind more and more of the stand that they were taking philanthropically for veterans, we started noticing just how many of our folks who were turning to us for help had served our country, and began talking with them. And as you mentioned, we took the program independent in 2000, right after the Great Recession, and Home Depot was one of the first organizations that stepped up to help us take the program independent. And so we've just stayed in touch with them and started to partner with them. They have this an ambitious goal of investing $500 million in helping veterans by the year 2025. And we're just completing our fourth year of being one of their partners in making that the most, the maximum amount of impact we can for low-income veterans in need with every dollar that they donate.
You've indicated to me when we talked in the past that with the volunteers, you brought housing stability to more than 300 veterans over the years. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
It is. And yet, you know, the need is obviously pretty daunting. We get about 90 requests for help every year from veterans. And so yeah, that was the case this year. And, you know, we're thrilled that we're able to do 10 high-impact projects, really large-scale, as you said in your opening, you know, the roofing replacements and the boilers and, you know, the things that really face a person with, geez, you know, can I hold on to my home or do I need to, need to think about other housing opportunities and leave the community where I've built up my life all these years. We've found that our volunteers have really gotten inspired. It's given them an extra spark for the work they do with us. And some of the local contractors, our volunteers are both skilled and, you know, just good-hearted worker bees, but local plumbers and electricians and carpenters and even, you know, building suppliers, they love this cause and have really kind of gotten behind it to help us to help more people. And, of course, I say this as I've may have mentioned when we last chatted as about, you know, 25% of our entire home front staff. So we rely massively on these volunteers and the community goodwill to help as many veterans as we can.
As I, when we talked back in April, I believe you indicated that you had a 10-home requirement, I guess, from the Home Depot Foundation. And you told me the other day that you just completed your 10th large-scale renovation for a veteran this year, which is just terrific. And you mentioned that you have, you get like 90 requests. So I'm speaking for some of the veterans who might be listening to this show tonight. How do you make a decision what 10 you're going to take out of those 90?
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah, it is. I can assure you it has nothing to do with whatever baseball team that the applicant supports, you know.
so you don't have to be a Yankee fan.
No, right.
How about if you're an Astro fan?
we look at all of them are equal in our eyes, but we're looking for those that are in the great, have the least wherewithal financially, Rick. So that's a big part of it, but also one of the exciting facets of the Home Depot support has been that they only want us to be applying it to the most life-changing, high-impact needs. And so not all of our 90 requests, involve needs that are that pervasive. So some of them just need, a couple of windows replaced or grab bars. And that's where we really need as an organization to be reaching out to find additional supporters who can help us to help some of the needs, that are still very important, but may not be a fit for, this sort of massive multi-phase impact like we're having with the Home Depot support. Of the 90 requests we had, every home gets visited by one of my colleagues or someone we've trained, just to make sure that they, that they qualify, and to kind of take an inventory of what their most pressing needs are, and then we also work really hard when we can't help them. And this is one of the ways the Veteran News Hour really helps us, is as we kind of stay tuned into some of the folks you shine a light on, it helps us to refer applicants. If we can't help them right away, we also try and serve as an informational conduit, to if there are other resources that can help them.
Well, that's awesome. So tell us a little bit about some of the you just completed your 10th renovation for a veteran this year. I know, and David and I, we represent veterans, and we have some great stories about some of the veterans we meet and we're able to help and everything. So why don't you share with us some of your stories over the last few months and some of the veterans that you've helped out.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'd be glad to. Right now in the Northeast, of course, we're running into the shorter days. It gets darker earlier and it's starting to get colder. So we'll start getting a lot. We find that as it starts getting colder, homeowners are more aware of the deficiencies in their homes and heating issues and that sort of thing. So we'll start getting more requests. But, Mother Nature really cooperated on our big repair-a-thon in spring, right after I last spoke with you guys, and our volunteer group tackled 9 large-scale veteran projects, and so it was about 500 volunteers working with us on that day for the veterans, and thank God nobody got hurt. It was just something we always we always really preach to our volunteers to work safely, they really made a major dent in the work we were trying to do for veterans. You know, those were we did 50 projects overall on that day, and one of the ones we just completed a few days ago was for this this gentleman in Greater Danbury by the name of James, and James is a 63-year-old veteran who served in the Army in the late 80s and then joined the National Guard from 1990 to around 2014. And he was 70% disabled by an IED in Baghdad, and came home, back home to his family. And he continued to work, just a few years after that, he was diagnosed with multiple myeloma and told it was a terminal condition. And he's so far outlasted how long they said he would have to live. He's a logger, continues working, and he also has what he calls a war baby, which was a son who's now 14 years old, who has a rare condition where he has lesions on his brain and needs special care that you can only get in Atlanta, Georgia. So it's this kind of, and it's this Brady Bunch type of marriage where his second marriage, he joined two families together, and they also have a 19-year-old who has a type of polio. So the wife, James's wife, got a hold of us and let us know that the family home that James had lived in all his life was really kind of deteriorating around them, and with all of their medical worries, they had no way of being able to attend to their repair needs. Their roof was leaking, their heating system was shot, and their windows were drafty, on and on and on. And we were able to find a group that was willing to work with us to tackle some of the repairs, to take care of some of the windows and the doors and the gutters and fencing. And then with the Home Depot funds, we brought in a roofer that already replaced James's roof, we're working with a partner of ours to get them a new boiler installed, and insulate their entire home and get their windows replaced. They're just eternally grateful. He just felt like he called it a windfall from the Lord when I just talked to them the other day about it. But like a lot of the folks who you deal with who served our country, James is a person who never complains about his lot in life, and things are just, he's very matter-of-fact about the challenges and counts his blessings and that sort of thing. But, we all certainly, the volunteers and all of us certainly feel really good about making an impact for this family that's given so much and that really has their hands full right now. That's just one of quite a few great examples. I'm noticing right now most of our requests are coming from, we're in the era of Vietnam veterans applying for help.
Right.
So about six of them that we helped were Vietnam veterans, a couple of Korean War veterans, and two that are whose service is more recent than that. All in all, Rick, the volunteers have enabled us to deliver about $230,000 in value to these 10 wow. veteran homes that we've assisted. So you know, just I was doing some number crunching as I was preparing to chat with you guys, and I saw that we replaced 82 windows for the 10 volunteers we helped, and re-roofed 5 veteran homes, and replaced 2 hot water heaters. So, you know, it's all really, you know, real quality of life, you know, improvements that we're able to be a part of for these folks who really, so many of them don't have anywhere else to turn.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that I find with a lot of veterans is they're not quick to, especially the veteran himself or herself, they're not quick to ask.
Right.
You know, I get, you know, I'll get a referral from a veteran to help out his other veteran, his, you know, a friend of his who's a veteran, and ask me to call him or a family member. But the veteran themselves, is, you know, there's a lot of pride in these veterans. You know, David's a veteran, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of pride there, and they're just they're not quick to ask for a handout.
There really is, and you know, I think it's one of those where you know, you hear people say that asking for help is a, you know, is a strength, not a weakness, right?
Right.
And you know, that's why in the case of James, it's not unusual that it was his wife who wrote the letter to us asking for help. But you know, these folks are, you know, it's a real gift to be able to give back to people who've, you know, made it possible for us to enjoy the things that we take for granted, like just basic comfort and security and freedom. You know, it really is a gift to the people, you know, who are able to really see directly where their good works and their funding are making a difference.
Yeah, and what's kind of sad is, thank God for your organization and other organizations like you, because so many times the VA just fails in this department to help veterans who need that extra little lift, just for for just a little bit of quality of life. You know, they're not asking for a lot. They're just looking for a basic quality of life that they should be entitled to, especially after serving their country and risking their own life.
Exactly.
So it's great that, your organization's out there. If someone wants to contact your organization, how would they do that?
Probably the best way is through our website, Rick, which is homefrontprogram.org. And there's information there, again, it's homefrontprogram.org, where people can find out how to get help, you know, how to refer someone who might, you know, be in need of assistance, how to get involved as a volunteer. You know, many of our, we're talking mostly, obviously, about the veterans were able to help, but we know among the, you know, 2,000 volunteers who worked with us over this year, many, many of them are folks who've also served their country. And we do have a toll-free number that's 800-887-HOPE. That's H-O-P-E. The numbers are 4673. And anyone who calls us, it's very important for them to know that it's all confidential. You know, I don't. That's why I don't use last names and when we talk about the stories. But you know, we take that very seriously. We wouldn't have been around for, you know, for 30 years. You know, without that kind of you know, the dignity that we believe very strongly in for all of the folks who apply to us. And I, you know, I did just want to say too, one of the things I've noticed through the work we've done, we did also get some nice publicity around the projects we did. And one of the things that's really important about that is not just for Homefront to get, you know, in the limelight, but it's also really, I think, the veterans are really serving a role in as an example, because volunteerism is down nationwide, you know, and more and more, you know, the Department of Labor, the folks who tally all the volunteer hours, it's on the decline overall. So when you have people who are being celebrated, and they're part of what they're being celebrated is for the idea of service, you know, that's something that really is couldn't be more important now as people start thinking about service in their own lives and in their communities for, you know, a lot of the needs that are out there.
How about if somebody wants to write you a check? Take that too.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And there's people can also do that on our website. They can write us a check, or and the address is on our website, or donate directly through our website. You know, our overhead is just 4%, which means, you know, 96 cents for every dollar donated goes directly into the homes. And it really gets multiplied because, as I said, you know, oh, well over $230,000 in impact for these veterans we've helped, but that's about more than double, you know, the donations that went into it that we're able to make happen through, you know, through volunteers. We all know what it costs when we call someone up to a plumber to come to our home and, you know, and make a repair for us, and we're really harnessing all of that to have as much of an impact as we can and try and really keep people in their homes. And also, you know, there's this whole concept of people are talking more and more about the loneliness epidemic in this country. And you think about the so much about the veteran experience, which certainly David could attest to more than me, but it's just, you know, the feeling of isolation with all of the virtual technology we have. Things like Homefront really kind of connect people face-to-face in a way that doesn't happen in our world. And so, you know, that's also incredibly important. They say that being lonely is the equivalent of smoking, I don't know, something like 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes a day for our longevity and our quality of life. So it's work like you guys do at the News Hour and connecting people, linking people, and work that we're doing in Homefront trying to unite, you know, caring people and the veterans who are helped often end up helping us help other veterans and other families in need in the future. So, you know, that's really what it's all about for us.
That's really great stuff. Before you go, why don't you give us the phone number again and that website?
Absolutely.
And anybody out there, write this stuff. Get a pen and pencil and write this down now. It's your homework for the night, veterans.
the number is 800-887-4673. It's 800-887-4673. Our office is in Stamford, Connecticut, and we just you have a small staff. We field all the calls. You won't get a automated telemarketing or a kind of a voice recording. Our web address is homefrontprogram.org. Again, it's homefrontprogram.org. And we also have a Facebook page, which is Homefront Program, where we're really trying to kind of lift up all the great stories, the positive stories out there that people are welcome to check out as well.
That's awesome. So before you go, see, it's coming to the end of the year. Have you started thinking about what your goals are for 2020?
We have, yes. And we actually exceeded our goal by a little bit this year. We've done 11 homes. It sounds a little bit like the, you know, Spinal Tap, you know, turning the volume up to 11. But we do also want to try and squeeze in one more project around Veterans Day. We have one that we're, you know, a smaller project. We think that would be a great way. It couldn't be a better way. And that's also part and parcel of Home Depot Foundation from Labor Day through Veterans Day is they call it their celebration of service. So we're trying to sneak in one more project. But, yeah, really to try and continue to do as many of these high-impact projects as we can, and also trying to get support to help us to do some of the smaller projects for veterans where so they don't have to wait, and you know, through pros that we have to work with, and other volunteers, skilled volunteers who can help us to you know, install a grab bar or repair some railings or replace a few windows or just take care of a, you know, nagging plumbing issue or electrical issue. So, you know, those are some of the areas we're looking at, really trying to grow the number of veterans that we can help, you know, in the year ahead.
And one final thing, I'm looking at my notes from last April. One of the programs that you've said that Homefront's working on is, and I want to see how you're doing with it, is chronic veteran homelessness. You know, recently I've been traveling about, going to hearings around the country in different cities. Denver, for one, comes to mind. Winston-Salem was another one. And I could not get over the extensive homelessness in these cities. And, you know, what's your experience of late up there in Connecticut?
Yeah, well, you know, certainly with the work we're doing directly through Homefront, we know that we're preventing homelessness for some of these veterans who have no families nearby and their homes are in disrepair. Homefront is part of a consortium called Opening Doors of Fairfield County, which is, you know, the county closest to New York here. And through our collaboration with them, Connecticut became the first state to officially announce that they have put an end to chronic veteran homelessness. But, of course, there is, you know, episodic homelessness is another matter, and something that, you know, something that a lot of governments are, like Denver and, you know, and throughout Connecticut are contending with, especially with cuts in social services, to be as efficient as they can and help as many people as they can. You're hearing more and more about the mental health correlation with homelessness, and so I know, you know, through my involvement with the state of Connecticut that there's more of a focus on how we can do a better job of treating, you know, treating psychological issues that are tied to it as well, and really try and relieve episodic homelessness as much as we can, too.
Well, that's great. Hey, Sean, I want to thank you very much for appearing on the Veterans News Hour, and we look forward to getting you on the show again next year to see how you're doing with the 2020 projects. Before I go, David, do you have anything you want to add?
I just want to thank Sean for running such an inspirational program. Keep up the great work, and hope you'll be back to keep us updated.
Thanks so much, gentlemen. And you guys keep up the great work, too. It's really meaningful for us to be just a small part of this larger conversation that you guys have week in, week out. And we really tip our hats to you guys as well.
Well, thank you very much. Take care, Sean. Thanks again. See you soon. See you in December.
All right. You too, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Sean. Take care.
Bye-bye.
That was That was great. We want to thank Sean for being our guest again on the Veterans News Hour. And best of luck to all that they're doing in Connecticut and with Homefront. David, back to you.
Well, thanks, Rick. To kind of tag on the subject that Sean was talking about, you know, the VA in conjunction with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and some other government agencies and private groups, they're working hard on the problem of veteran homelessness. The VA announced earlier this month that the Western Pennsylvania Continuum of Care met the requirements in September to declare the effective end of veteran homelessness in the 20 counties that it serves in Western Pennsylvania, bringing the nation another step closer to ending homelessness among veterans across the country. For those of you who may not be familiar with this program, communities across the nation are working across systems to end homelessness, trying to make it rare, brief, and non-recurring. By coming together to align funds, program services, and housing options, communities are creating systems to better meet the needs of those experiencing homelessness. Now, this work is facilitated by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development's Continuum of Care program. Now, this program is designed to assist individuals and families who are experiencing homelessness and to provide the services needed to help those move towards transitional and permanent housing with the goal of long-term stability. Now, the Western Pennsylvania Continuum of Care program joined 77 other communities and three states that have identified each homeless veteran in their community and put them on a pathway to securing permanent housing. VA Secretary Robert Wilkie said in a recent press release from the VA, quote, "Achieving this milestone demonstrates that ending veteran homelessness is possible with effective local leadership and strong partnerships." Secretary Wilkie salutes the Western Pennsylvania Continuum of Care's Veteran Committee and everyone in Western Pennsylvania who works tirelessly in collaboration with the VA and the Department of Housing and Urban Development and other organizations to ensure that veterans in that region have access to permanent, sustainable, and wraparound support services, unquote. So I think this is another good example, but certainly, Rick, as you've mentioned, and I'm sure as many of our listeners know, there are many areas of the country and some large cities. Los Angeles is an example, San Francisco, Seattle, and others, some of the larger urban areas that have significant problems of homelessness, people that are not just veterans, but other individuals and families living on sidewalks and tents, living in parks and woods, and the situation is very bad. So hopefully this Continuum of Care program, sponsored by HUD, but with other organizations as well, can be used and applied in these other organizations. It's a complex issue. There's no simple solution, but programs like this do show that it is possible to tackle the problem successfully and to help those in need. If you want to learn more about these programs and the services available to help those that are homeless, including veterans, and those that are at risk, at imminent risk of becoming homeless, here's a couple websites. You may want to jot these down. One of those websites is va.gov/homeless. That's va.gov. That's GOV, /homeless. Or you can see the website of the United States Interagency Council on Homelessness. You've probably never heard of that, but it's the United States Interagency Council on Homelessness. Their website is usich.gov, usich.gov. You can find information there about kind of strategic plans to try to prevent and end homelessness. Veterans who may be in need on this issue can also contact their local VA medical center where staff are ready to assist. And there's also a toll-free number that the VA has, and it's 1-877-4-AID-VET. And that spells out 1-877-424-3838. That's 1-877-424-3838 for more information for veterans that may be at risk of homelessness. Rick, over to you.
Thank you, David. And the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs recently completed an aggressive initiative to process home loan funding fee refunds to veteran borrowers, issuing more than $400 million in refunds. Refunds are the culmination of a multi-year internal review of millions of VA-backed home loans spanning almost two decades. VA staff worked diligently throughout the summer reviewing 130,000 cases, which is an average of 16,000 loans reviewed per week, said Secretary Robert Wilkie. This effort included loans dating back nearly 20 years. Our administration prioritized fixing the problems and paid veterans what they were owed. The VA's Loan Guarantee Service, LGY, program identified more than 130,000 loans where a refund was potentially due. While some funding fees charged were found to be attributable to clerical errors, most fees were charged correctly. The exception was for those veterans whose exemption status changed following the issuance of a disability rating after the closing of their loan. Letters were mailed notifying veterans who were eligible for a refund. VA has made several program and systems changes to provide veterans and lenders with the most up-to-date information possible on a veteran's funding fee exemption status. The changes include enhancement to veteran-focused communications to better inform about the loan funding fee and when it may be waived as part of the loan transaction, policy guidance directing lenders to inquire about a veteran's VA disability claim status during the loan underwriting process and obtain an updated certificate of eligibility no more than 3 days prior to loan closing if the veteran had a disability claim pending, system and procedural changes to ensure regular internal oversight activities swiftly identifying veterans eligible for fee waivers and potential refund cases. Veterans who believe they are entitled to a refund of the VA funding fee are strongly encouraged to call their VA Regional Loan Center at 877-827-3702 to find out if they are eligible. Again, that number is 877-827-3702. Back to you, David.
Thanks, Rick. In more news from the VA recently announced that it had awarded $14.8 million in grants for adaptive sports programs benefiting veterans with disabilities and disabled members of the armed forces, and those grants were awarded by the end of September. Secretary Wilkie announced that the VA has awarded 126 grants to national, regional, and community programs, which will reach an estimated 11,000 veterans and service members from every state, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico. We all know how important sports are, and some of our prior programs we've talked about, some of the programs for disabled, sports programs for disabled veterans, is co-sponsored by the VA and veteran groups like Disabled American Veterans. And this is just another example of the VA recognizing how important sports can be, both for the physical, but also the mental health of disabled veterans. Now, the VA has awarded these grants to veteran service organizations, city and regional municipalities, and other community groups, trying to provide a wide range of adaptive sports opportunities. And these grants will also benefit national governing bodies which prepare high-level athletes for Paralympic competitions. Grant recipients may use the funding for planning, developing, managing, and implementing adaptive sports programs. In addition to equine therapy, the grants will support well-known adaptive sports such as cycling, kayaking, and archery, as well as less traditional sports like hiking, hunting, and paragliding. More information about these programs are available on the following websites. Grab your pen and paper. For these sports grants, go to va.gov/adaptive sports. That's va.gov/adaptive sports. And you can also go to @sportsforvets on social media for more information. Back over to you, Rick.
The U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs celebrated its latest telehealth innovation on October 16th at the Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 6786 in Eureka, Montana, with the grand opening of the first VA assessing telehealth through local area stations, ATLS, or Atlas site, which will benefit up to 300 veterans living in that community. This state-of-the-art remote telehealth exam room is the first of many that will be opened in partnership with veteran service organizations, bringing veteran VA health care closer to rural veterans in their communities and reducing the need for them to travel long distances for select health care appointments. Our goal is to make sure every veteran has access to health care, said VA Secretary Robert Wilkie. Atlas addresses another health care hurdle for veterans living in rural areas or with limited internet access. And it's a great example of how public and private organizations can work together to solve the challenges of healthcare. Atlas exam rooms provided by the VFW and designed in its partnership with Philips provide telehealth equipment in a secure and private space, allowing veterans to conduct virtual appointments with VA providers. Philips is a health technology company focused on improving people's health and enabling better outcomes by leveraging advanced technology and deep clinical and consumer insight. In addition to Eureka, Montana, the 10-site pilot program will have initial locations inside American Legion's and VFW posts in Springfield, Virginia, Los Baños, California, and Linesville, Pennsylvania. Improving access to care for our nation's veterans is something that will take collaboration across the public and private sector as we expand the VA success in telehealth and move these solutions closer to home. Together with forward-thinking service organizations, we can give our nation's veterans greater access to the care they deserve, said Vitor Roca, chief market leader at Philips North America. There are more than 9 million veterans enrolled in the VA healthcare system, with 3 million living in rural or remote areas, and 27% of that population not having internet access at home. Back to you, David.
Thanks, Rick. Just a little more than 5 minutes left. I wanted to jump to a news item of interest, particularly to Vietnam War veterans. And we've talked about this on a few prior shows, but I think it's worth emphasizing again. If you're a veteran of the Vietnam War and received a Purple Heart, the Veterans of Foreign Wars is now accepting entries for its annual Return to Vietnam trip drawing. Again, if you're a Vietnam veteran and received a Purple Heart for being wounded in Vietnam, you could be one of 9 veterans, to win this in-country tour from April 16th to the 29th of 2020. So this next April. The trip will include visits to Hanoi, Saigon, which is now called Ho Chi Minh City, the Demilitarized Zone, Khe Sanh, Hue, Da Nang, Hoi An, Marble Mountain, Cu Chi, and Tay Ninh, with airfare, accommodations, and meals included. Entries must be received prior to the drawing on November 29th, 2019. So you have basically one more month to get your entry in. Winners will be notified by mail or email immediately following the drawing on November 29th. To claim their trip, winners must send a copy of their Purple Heart documentation to the Veterans of Foreign Wars, that's VFW National Headquarters, by January 3rd, 2020, and their passport by February 7th. If you don't have a passport already, please apply immediately upon notification. Now, the trip to Vietnam includes mainly Vietnamese meals, but will also include some American food on occasion. It'll include long bus rides, excessive walking, and there are no handicap facilities anywhere on the trip, so just keep that in mind. And everyone must participate in every inland trip and activity. That's just the nature of this event. So please consider these points of information before entering the drawing. Previous VFW-sponsored trip winners to various events are not eligible. Again, if you're a Purple Heart recipient of the Vietnam War, consider this opportunity to revisit battle sites and share your experiences with fellow Vietnam veterans. For more information, or to download the entry form, go to vfw.org, that's vfw.org, and look for the link under the Media and Events tab on that website. And it'll give you the entry form and also directions on where to send that VFW National Headquarters in Kansas City. But that's something of interest that some of our Vietnam veteran listeners may want to look into. Just got a few minutes left, Rick, so over to you.
Thank you, David. Yeah, and before we close tonight, I would like to remind everybody about the Coaching in the Care program. This is for families to assist their veterans with the difficulty transitioning to home life. You know, tonight we've been touching on homelessness and the effects that homelessness our veterans have and on being homeless. Well, Coaching in the Care is a program that could assist families to help your veteran not become homeless. You know, again, that transition into home life is very difficult. Coaching in the Care offers a free coaching to help you, the family member, help your veteran. You know, give the program a call. The toll-free number is 1-888-823-7458. Its hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, the VA's Coaching in the Care number is 1-888-823-7458. In addition, I'd like to once again remind listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has the Veterans Crisis Line to help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care that they need to cope with their problems. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. The number is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. David?
Well, thanks, Rick. And thank you once again to our special guest, Sean O'Brien, Executive Director and Board Member of Homefront Incorporated, for sharing his insights and thoughts on the program that they have in Connecticut to help help people really to stay in their home. It's an important program, and we hope our listeners were interested and perhaps can help support the program. Also, I'd like to thank all of you for listening to the Veterans News Hour here on BBS Radio. Again, I'd like to issue a special thanks and kudos to Doug and Don Newsom and everyone at BBS Radio out there staying on the air despite the nearby fires in California and having to operate on generator power to stay on the air. Thanks so much for all they do. Enables us to be here talking with you and sharing our information for veterans. I'd like to again thank our sponsors, Joyce and Joe Chivaroli and Corey and Hurley Law Group. I would like to thank specifically our producer, Doug Newsom at BBS Radio. We hope you'll tune in next week, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, 5 p.m. Mountain, and 4 p.m. Pacific Time here on BBSRadio.com, Station 1, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, we hope you have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on BBSRadio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.